It's time for Mac Break Weekly, and thank you, Apple. Right before the show begins, Apple announces new products, iPhones, iPads, cases, bands. We'll talk about it. We've got a great team for you. We call them the A-Team. A couple of Canadians and a guy who's practically Canadian. Rene Ritchie joins Jim Dalrymple and Adam Engst next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 551, recorded Tuesday, March 21st, 2017. The A-Team. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/MacBreak. And by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter the promo code MACBREAK to receive a free Tracker Bravo with any purchase. And by Jamf. With more than 10,000 customers, Jamf provides Apple management software for Mac, iPad, and iPhone devices. Regardless of the size of your organization or the complexity of your environment, Jamf can automate time-consuming tasks and reduce help desk tickets. Go to Jamf, JAMF.com/MACBREAK. To see which Jamf solution is right for your business. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the latest news from the Apple Kingdom. Andy Inako's down for the count. We thought he was going to be in Yosemite. He's actually a little under the weather right now, and so won't be joining us. But we have some good replacements. Let's start with Rene Ritchie, who is here, as always, despite the cold and wind and sleet, the dark of night.
I don't. Am I a postman or a Mountie? Can't tell.
He's from the RCMP, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Rene. Good to see you.
It's like Sam Steele. I just stand at the border and stare Americans and their guns back south.
This is a really important day, actually, to have the A-Team with us. So I'm glad you're here, and I'm really thrilled to welcome from loopinsight.com, The Loop, Jim Dalrymple. Great to have you, Jim. Another Canadian in the house.
Always good to be here, Leo.
Always good to have you. Also joining us, and he might as well be Canadian from he's so far north.
Can I be an honorary Canadian?
Yeah, honorary Canadian. Yes. Adam Engst from Tidbits in Upper New York State. Good to see you, Adam.
Nice to see you.
It's almost Timbits.
Timbits. It's practically Tidbits is practically Timbits. And I was informed.
We had a Tim Hortons, but it closed. Sorry.
Really? Aww. Wow. Just also, over the border. Sad. I was told not to call them Tim's Bits.
No.
No.
Especially not in Quebec. We don't like the apostrophe here.
All right. So Apple did us a good favor today by releasing news about its new products before the show instead of waiting till later in the day or tomorrow.
That's why they did it.
Yep.
Yeah. Very well, convenient.
Since you invited me on this week, I released some new products. You're welcome.
Jim called him up and he said, okay, it's okay. Do it now.
And I'm actually happy because they didn't come out on Monday afternoon, which makes my life miserable for getting Tidbits out. All good.
But now you're a week late, so it's...
whatever.
There's a time to think about it. So they announced... let me see how I'm going to structure this. I guess what I'll say is... They announced a new product, Red iPhone. We thought that might happen. Doubled the iPhone SE storage. Yeah. Did an iPad Mini 4.
iPad Air 3.
And an basically. iPad, which is an iPad Air 3. What?
Yeah, it's not a Mini. It's like an iPad Air 3, but it's just called iPad. It's technically iPad 5th generation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong headline because then I'm seeing iPad Mini 4 discontinued. So... No, 32. I'm never mind. iPad 4 Mini with 128 gigs of storage now starts at $399. Just the price drop. Yep. Okay, and then they debuted a new 9.7 inch iPad, A9 chip to replace the iPad Air 2. It's the new low end iPad. Yeah. So we'll go into detail on all of that,
and watch bands, Leo. Don't forget the watch bands.
No, yeah. And cases. Case colors.
Color matched to the watch bands.
Rennie's going to spend his next like 10 paychecks on Apple Watch bands.
Given the exchange rate, Jim, I only need 8. Thank you.
So there are new striped woven nylon bands, Nike Sport bands, Hermes bands, and some new looks like some new leather bands.
So what is Camellia as a color? Which one is Camellia?
The Apple-Hermes relationship is so bizarre because they do not translate the name of the colors, but they translate the name of the buckles. So no one knows what the colors are, but then all the horologists are super – like Apple says single deployment instead of déployant, and horologists are like, how dare you, Apple? It's clearly a déployant. But then the color is feu, and nobody knows that just means fire. It's confusing for no reason.
Feu. Well, the problem is camellias come in a variety of colors, including white, so we don't know – what color a camellia band is.
I'm sure they're trademarked by Hermes at some point.
Oh, Lord.
And what is the Pantone color? Pictures of them. I mean, let's get real here.
So
Pantone.
I guess it's a good thing they didn't have an event, because if this is what they had to say, it wouldn't be really worth a trip to Cupertino for anybody on the A team. And by the way, that's spelled E-H, just in case you get the point.
Well, no, they said, the Jim, should we have an event? And he said, I'm kind of busy that day. And I said, okay, no event.
No event.
We'll wait till you're free.
Yeah. But here's the real question I think everybody's wondering. Does this mean no new Macs this spring?
No, nor does it mean no new iPad Pros. Doesn't mean anything.
I think they're just clearing the stuff out.
So they're doing the little stuff. So there may be an event later, or maybe just another press release in a month, or what?
Yeah, I don't know that this can be classified as clearing stuff out. I mean, that iPad that replaces the iPad 2 is very nice entry level iPad.
And why would you announce this by itself if you have other iPad announcements? Wouldn't you just do this as part of the iPad announcements?
It's not. So if you say these are all the new iPad Pros, oh, and by the way, we have this new entry level iPad for $329. It kind of just clutters up your message. And if they put this out now, and
I mean, the pro people are going to gravitate towards that iPad 9.7 Pro and the larger one, but you know, there are a lot of people out there that want some kind of a replacement for either an older iPad or maybe a computer. And this is perfect for them.
Yeah, Apple needs a relatively low-priced iPad.
Yeah, and
this is $329 for 32 gigs, $429 for 128 gigs. It's their new entry-level model. And the biggest thing is a little smaller than the old iPad 2. And it's a little brighter display, iPad Air 2, I should say. And
not laminated, though.
It's an A9 chip, not laminated.
Right. Yeah, but if you look at who this is going for, having the TrueDome display and things like that, that's not necessarily what they're looking for features. If that's what they want, there's an iPad Pro that they can get that with. But I think this is a pretty significant release. Now, maybe not significant in specs if you compare it to a pro version, but they weren't looking to release a pro version. Right. They're looking to release something that everybody can use.
So the line now is the two iPad Pros, 9.7 and 12.9 inch respectively. The iPad Mini 4 is still around. And then this new iPad replaces their former low end, the iPad Air 2. And it's iPad.
Yes. Right. So confused. Like, what do you call it? The iPad non-pro? It's going to be so confusing.
Just the iPad plain iPad. And this, I would guess, is what Apple expects most people to buy when they go in the store. They're going to say, give me an iPad, and that's what they're going to get.
It's the door crasher. And it's a replacement for people. There are so many people who bought an iPad 2 or an iPad 3, an iPad 4, or an original iPad mini, and it was just good enough. It did everything they needed to. But now it's getting a little bit old, and they don't want to get a Pro because that's another $500, $600, $700. Yeah. But at this price, the original iPads, the iPads were $500 for a long time entry level, and this is $329 entry level.
This
and
is
you're
a
still
really
getting an
good
iPad.
So this is the lowest priced iPad, a Mini 4. Well, they don't sell a 32 gig. If they did, maybe it would be cheaper. But they sell 128 gig, and that's $399.
$30 for that difference in size. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And if you went to a Pro, the 32 gig would be considerably more, be $270 more. So
you also have to consider, Leo, that nobody in Canada actually needs the Pro with the True Tone display because the sun doesn't shine. So,
how quickly they change sides.
In the snow.
You used to be on Team A. Now you're on Team...
I'm on Team Sunshine.
What does it mean that it's not laminated? Should I care about that? What does that mean?
Lamination removes the air gap in between it, and it leads to less glare. And it's a higher end feature that Apple introduced in iPhones and then in iPads to sort of make them a better value.
So this is the Canadian iPad.
I am outnumbered with Jim Dalrymple on a show. I never thought this would happen.
I mean, come on, you and Adam, basically the same thing there.
I hear Jim laughing. I know.
Same pixels per inch as the Pros.
It's literally an iPad Air 3. They just got rid of the Air 3 moniker.
Got it. Yep. Got it.
I was going to say, I don't remember. Did the AirPod, the iPad Air 2 have the laminated display and all that? I don't think so.
No, yes. It did.
The original Air did not. The Air 2 got it. And then this one
Air
reverted.
2 got it. Okay. Right. Okay.
So you're not going to get the laminated display, the anti-reflective coating, the wide gamut, the P3 gamut, and the True Tone display. But as you point out, if you need that, you'll know and you'll ask for the right thing. Everybody else is just buying an iPad.
No one's parents or kids are going to complain about DCI P3. And if they do, good on you. Good on you, sir.
Yeah.
Ma'am.
Yeah, right.
Processor is an A9, not an A9X. Does that make a big difference?
It's going to make a little bit of a difference. Yeah. But again, you have to consider who this is for. Will it make a big difference for people upgrading from an iPad Air 2? Yes, huge. Is it something for the pros? Probably not. But the difference is going to depend on what you do.
I guess I have an iPad Air 2, and actually I got it. We were doing a book about the iPad where I needed to buy it. I was sort of a little unhappy about the time I bought it because I was pretty sure Apple was going to replace it. And it's lasted obviously forever. I mean, it's been the top of the line non-pro iPad for ages now. And I don't know. I don't think I would upgrade it. I don't see any need. And obviously, if you have an iPad or an iPad 1, it's not even close. The iPad 2, real problem. 3, 4, starting to be still useful. But once you get into the iPad Air, I really wonder if this people would upgrade from that. It just doesn't seem like they would.
Pegging that processor is hard. You need a pro app to do that. Sorry, Tim.
Adam, Tim needs a new car, so you got to go out and buy an iPad.
I think Tim can buy a new car with change he finds in the couch cushions.
He has daily cars. They come with the iPhone, the Apple Watch. No, but there are pro apps that will peg that processor, and things like Prisma, if you're doing like high level filters, maybe will peg an A9. But for most people, there's very little they can do that will peg that processor.
Right.
Now you see the difference in like video recording. It can't do 4K video recording. But it doesn't also have the camera. It has
neither can the 12.9
can't either. Right. Yeah.
I think this is a little bit of what the iPad has had problems with, honestly. I mean, we've been seeing the growth, sales growth slowing, and that's because they're pretty good. You don't need to just buy a new iPad every year or two like you do with an iPhone, that you can hold on to them for a long time. I mean, we have a 1, 2, 3, and iPad Air 2. And, the 1 and the 2, pretty much not anymore. But even the 3, still pretty functional. So, if I was worried about how much money I was spending, I'd hold on to that thing for years. And I just, I think that's, the case for a lot of people.
Do you remember Steven Sinofsky, Leo?
I do.
I loved his tweet today.
He was in charge of Windows 8 and then left with his tail between his leg.
I just have to know, he was my wife Tanya's residence hall advisor at Cornell.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
He was her RA.
That's amazing.
Former president of the Windows division. His tweet today?
Yeah. Fun facts on 2016, anemic iPad sales, 43 million, more than all Dell computers sold, about the same as business laptops sold.
Wow.
They're doing terribly. So doomed.
Wow. He's actually quoting Tom Warren, who is a Windows journalist for The Verge. So...
Yeah, there was a couple, like Bloomberg had a hot take today that Apple's, you know, run out of steam on their iPads as well. So
yeah,
I just think sometimes we lack context when we do these things.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with the iPhone. People say, oh, peak iPhone, and yet it's, you know, they sold an ungodly number.
Mount Everest is a high peak.
Well, that
too.
Was a great, right. I forget who said it, but someone today said, just stay quiet and let Tim make you money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they must have, Apple must have sensed that in the market they needed a new kind of updated low-end iPad. And there would be, the fact that it's called iPad, first of all, bye-bye Air, no more Airs.
Yeah.
The fact that it's called iPad kind of tells me that this is what Apple thinks is the sweet spot for sales going forward.
It's the mainstream. It's the bulk thing. It's what everyone in education, yeah. You know, who's not using Chromebook, and people right. in business who want to have a, you know, a tablet that they can take around to do PDF writing and storage and everything.
But this grid is only for now, because in a couple of weeks or whenever they announce the next generation iPad Pros, this is going to change, right? This.
Yep.
So. We're speaking a little bit in a vacuum here.
Well, I do think that, I mean, the big things obviously are the difference with the iPad Pro being the smart connector and the Apple Pencil. And, you know, so you get the smart keyboard and the Apple Pencil and things like that, where they're really doing different features. The laminated display and all that, that feels like, you know, details.
Right.
It's really about, you know, the 12.9 inch, obviously much bigger screen, Apple Pencil providing an entirely different interaction mechanism, smart keyboard being a pretty good keyboard for people who like the feel of it, that kind of thing. I mean, I know there's
variability, a clear differentiator is what you're saying.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it feels like those are really different, and that's good, and that's nice to see the price reflecting that now.
Yeah. Does Steve Jobs' famous quadrant grid apply here? There are four products, right?
Yeah.
Now you can't really say two for business, two for home. They're all portable, so I guess. But it is four products, which maybe is an important number. Where do you fit in new iPads into this?
They replace the two Pros, and then if they do the OLED edge-to-edge one, that goes on top of everything.
So there might be a fifth.
The next gen.
The Super Pro.
Super Pro.
Okay. So, in other words, we're still waiting for the other shoe to drop on that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that they, if you look at the 12.9, it can't do 4K video, and it can't do, it doesn't have the true color display and things like that. Stuff that I think that they'll bring to that, you know, in the next revision. But... you know, the iPad Pro 9.7 is very powerful. It's got the best screen technology. So it's my favorite one right now.
I'm actually really looking forward, and I hope that this is true, to a 10.5-inch. And it would be gravy if it were OLED. I think that will... You know what will happen? When you said it. It's the future iPad. When you look at this line... and then you go in the store and there's that, and then there's this other one. It will stand out in a way that I think you will say, oh, that's the future of iPad. I wish I could afford that, but instead I'm just going to get this one.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, some people are super upset that they don't just put the new technology in at the current price points, but sometimes that technology is incredibly expensive. Like, just the components for it, the yield rates are low, and either their choice is not to do it or to wait a couple of years and do it. And if they can do it now, I mean, I think it just pulls us all forward.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's take a break. Then we're going to get red.
It's Canadian.
Nice. It's nice to have the A team here. A? How could I say that to distinguish it from the letter A? A team.
What are you talking about? You?
But you got to look at Jim's shirt there, I have to say.
I know.
American flag in black and white. And you've got the Bear Republic with the stars. It's like the California flag. I don't know what are you saying with that? That's probably a heavy metal band of some kind.
Is there any conflict between the bearded? Like, is the beard staying Canadian and it's sort of passive aggressively angry at Jim for being so
he has to sweep the beard aside so that we can see the.
I think the beard is a historic landmark. I'm not sure if Jim's allowed to change it.
It tried to strangle me last night.
The fifth head on Mount Rushmore.
So I had to go retro on my shirt too. Anyone recognize this one?
Oh, pull down his lower third so we can see it.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Stand a little bit higher. There we go. Okay, I see a shopping cart, a screwdriver, an apple, and what's that on the all the way on the right?
The apple cookie.
A cookie. The apple logo. Cookie cart screw apple. Am I right?
Let's see. I don't know if you can see the back.
Stand up. Stand up. Get up a little higher. Oh, you're already standing up. That's the problem.
Yeah, right. I can't get any higher.
Think different. Really different.
This was the shirt Apple released when they announced the Apple Store in November 1997.
Wow. So
20 wow. years old.
That is a valuable item. I wouldn't be wearing that. I would save that in nitrogen. That is...
It's in the collection, but I was looking around for something to put on. I'm like, oh, Apple just announced new products. I'll find the Apple Store shirt. It was either that or Mac the Knife. So
Curtis B. corrects me. He says, not Mount Rushmore, Leo. Jim will be on Mount Beardmore, along with 2/3 of ZZ Top.
See, that beard is actually, there's Baffin Island and then the beard. They're usually sitting together, but.
Mount Beardmore. So that shirt, I've never seen that shirt. That is a special. But what is, okay, so cookie.
Cart, screwdriver, and apple.
It's not a rebus. It's not supposed to make a sentence.
I don't think so. I think it was just that you need, I mean, this was 1997 when cookies were a big deal on the web. Mm. And you needed the cookies to maintain state. Shopping cart, obviously. The screwdriver, I think, meant you could build your own.
Maybe they were going to do, like, have chocolate chip cookies like those hotels do in the lobby when you come in the Apple store.
You did not get a cookie when the online store. You did not get a cookie when you ordered your first thing.
Oh, this isn't the retail store. This is their online store.
This was the first online store.
Of course, 97. Yeah, they didn't have retail in 97. Okay.
So this was a really big deal because I think Dell had started selling stuff online before, and then Apple was fairly close after them. And obviously, it became an absolutely huge deal. You know, they used to announce how much they'd sold for, you know, in the online store, the way they sort of talk about how much came through Apple retail now.
I think that's you're wearing an $800 shirt there. That is.
Make sure Drake doesn't try to buy it from
you. Give me an offer, Leo. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I'm just looking on eBay to see what they're going for here. I don't see anybody with that. That is a collector's item. Wait a minute. Here's a Badfinger 1982 tour T-shirt.
I have the Apple New York one from Apple.
I don't see anything.
These aren't 800 though. I mean, they're in the 20 to 50 range.
Come on, man. That's a bit of history. It's a bit of history. I don't see anything like this on eBay. You own this, man.
Someday we'll do a T-shirt show, Leo, and I'll bring out the collection.
I think you should bring your collection to the Antique Roadshow. Oh. You're sitting on gold, my friend.
I've got T-shirts from companies that have been obsolete for 20 years.
I do have, and I'm really thrilled to have it, one of the original Paul Rand, Next posters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, there's some great stuff. I mean, you just keep this stuff. It's amazing what you can have around.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I'd kept it in better shape. It was from that era. I wish I'd. It's a little banged up. Like at one point, I thumbtacked it to the wall.
You didn't use the little blue stuff?
No. Yeah, man, I'm so mad at myself. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Folks, if you're going to buy a house, unless you're rolling in dough, unless you're Warren Buffett, you're going to get a mortgage. This is a good time to get a refi, too, because those interest rates are going to start to ratchet up now. Fed just raised rates. Now's the time to go to Quicken Loans, quickenloans.com/MacBreak. And when you do, you're gonna love it because they have a product just for the geek in all of us, Rocket Mortgage. The idea is, first of all, Quicken Loans, the best mortgage lender in the country, easily. Number one, J.D. Power Customer Satisfaction Award winner since 2010, every year, year in, year out. And they're very, they're very tech savvy. They always have been. Out of their headquarters there in Detroit, where they're really revitalizing the inner city. If you want to ever read up on Quicken Loans, it's a great story. So they decided they wanted to make a product for us because they realized now some people like to go to get a home loan, like to go to a mortgage lender and meet the person and press the flesh and have them, page through the rates and all of that stuff. Some people like us just, let's get it done. Let's get it done fast. Let's get it done online. And that's what Rocket Mortgage does. It's completely online, completely transparent. You're going to get a mortgage that is exactly right for you. In fact, because it's online, you can submit all the paperwork, bank statements, pay stubs, everything online, electronically. And you can adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time. So you get exactly the loan you want and you will get approved not in days or weeks or months. Last time we bought a house, it took us a month to get the loan. It took us that long. You're going to get approved in minutes for a loan that is exactly right for you. Whether you're looking to buy or refi, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, go completely online. QuickenLoans.com/MacBreak. QuickenLoans.com/MacBreak. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030. QuickenLoans.com/MacBreak. Lisa's mad. She loves red, and she really wants this red iPhone. But it's kind of hard to justify since we just got our old, you know, our new iPhone 7s, like,
justify
in October.
Justify.
Justify. Why do you need to justify?
Lisa needs no justification.
Just buy it. It is pretty.
It goes to charity. There's your justification.
Yes. So this is a product red phone.
Yeah.
That means it goes to Bono's charity to fight AIDS. You don't pay more for the phone, though, right?
I think it's $100 more.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So that does that extra $100 go to
I believe so, yeah. I mean, like, they will have to wait till they do their full disclosure, but they've
contributed
$130 million to date to product.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
They are the largest corporate donor, $130 million.
Wow. That is really neat. Yeah. And they are handing them out or at least giving briefings. I saw Joanna Stern of the Wall Street Journal has one or is holding one. Marcus Brownlee is holding one. It's very pretty. It is not piano black. It is aluminum, right? It's kind of a matte finish. Is that right?
It's anodized aluminum.
Anodized aluminum. And it has a white face, which I'm not sure I'm thrilled about. Neither was Joanna. She says, sadly, the red does not extend to the front.
All these Canadian haters. It's ridiculous. I mean, the flag of St. George, the Canadian flag, the Swedish flag, the Swiss flag. Just so many countries are celebrating today, Leo.
It's pretty.
It's no red and black.
It is pretty, I have to say. Now, it's the Apple is black. It's not shiny. It's matte black, it looks like.
I like it. I think it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
I really do.
I agree. Yeah.
Does it matter?
This is a product red iPod Touch from a while ago, and it looks almost the
same. It's the same, isn't it? It's very similar.
Yeah.
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 Does it, in fact, almost identical, except that the Apple's more of a cutout now.
This is before they did the embedded stainless steel logos.
Does it matter, though, really? Because doesn't everybody put it in a case? I have not put my jet black in a case. Because I just hate to. It's too pretty.
I know.
I have to because they're too slippery. Actually, the jet black I hear is not as slippery, but I have the space gray, I guess, and it's just too slippery.
This will be like the
I think it'll be like the space gray.
Space gray, yeah. It'll be a little more slick.
And notice that they can color match the antenna lines on red, but not on rose gold or gold.
Oh, you're right. No antenna lines.
Yeah. They're there. They're just color matched.
Oh.
There's no British racing stripes on this model.
Ooh. Well, I don't know what more to say about it. When will it be in stores? I think you can order on Friday, day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
A couple of days after tomorrow. And then you'll get it the following week, or will you get it right away, or what's the?
They're usually pretty, hippie, but I would get it immediately. Like if you want it, they're also very good at getting.
They don't
out of these
say,
things, but...
yeah, they don't say how limited it is.
Yeah, there was a quote from Greg Joswiak basically saying, "We made a bunch," so that actually turns into.
Wow, I love Apple's accounting. Yeah, we made a bunch of money. We made a bunch
more
of
more than a skosh.
They, if you can't afford a red phone, you can at least get the new product red case.
Yeah.
The product red case already existed. This is a berry red case, I believe. Or, is that the right color?
Okay, berry.
Yeah, berry red, I think is
so
the color.
So blue is called azure.
Yeah.
The red is camellia, and the gray is pebble.
There's also a berry.
In the leather, though, the blue, that's the silicone. In the leather, the blue is sapphire, the gray is taupe. And the red is berry. And it is kind of more of a berry than a red.
This is the product red, previous product red silicone case, and it's much redder.
Yeah, I like that one. And that one has a bump.
That's the battery. Well, this is the battery version, but there's a version without the battery as well.
There is also, for the iPhone SE, and I think this is quite attractive, a saddle brown leather case.
So, yeah, there is a product red leather case.
That's not one of these.
That's not one of those.
Okay.
That's an entirely different thing.
Okay,
so,
I'm so confused.
Yeah, the berry is not the same thing.
I don't use cases.
You don't either.
I don't use cases at all.
Yeah, I don't. I don't like to.
I stick it in here and.
He's got a fur case.
The only time I've ever used a case is during the iPhone 5 days when I would put a Mophie on it. Mm. But with the 6 Plus and 7 Plus, I don't need one. The battery lasts long.
Yep.
And I just love the feel of the phone the way that it
too.
Is.
I hate to – when you have something – and it's been frustrating because – previous iPhones, I have felt like I had to put it in a case, but this one, I just, for some reason, it's just so beautiful. I don't want to put it in a case, and it's held up. You know, I have those micro abrasions that they talked about.
Yeah, but whatever.
So it looks like I use
like a Millennium Falcon.
Yeah,
that would be like putting me in a case. I mean, I'm beautiful the way I am. There's no need to put me in a case.
No need to put Jim in a case. That's for sure.
That's why he played in the CFL without a helmet. Yeah.
I think the red leather case would be good for you, Jim.
Well, you never know.
So I guess I'll have to go to the here it is. That's their phone. They call that the special edition. So is the case?
I can send you the URL. It's in the Apple Store at least.
Yeah. Okay. Azure. Here's a bright red one. Look at that. Here's a product red one. It's bright red. Yeah.
That's one that Rennie just showed us, isn't it?
It's like it. It's silicone.
Yeah, except mine's the bump.
But he has the bump. This is the bump free. Order by 5 p.m. delivers tomorrow, so you can get the case right now.
Yeah, in either silicone or leather.
And it's the same price for the case, $35 for whatever color you get. Well, they got a lot of colors now.
They match the watch band, so you can be totally like fashionable.
Have a case for every occasion.
You know, I some people joke about that, but my mom loves it. When the spring comes, she puts on her yellow iPhone case and her yellow watch band, and then like, she changes, and she likes matching them and changing them up because it goes with the change of seasons for her. And I'm sure there's a lot of people. I have a friend who changes his watch band to match his shirt every day.
So what does she get, white and black?
No, yellow. But we need some color here, Jim, to stand out. So I think she uses blue in the winter, yellow in the spring. Product red she puts on once in a while.
We also have a new SE in town. What's new about the SE? The price has dropped.
Double memory. Double
the memory's
capacity.
32
capacity. And 128.
Okay.
And that's going to be huge. That was the main complaint of
story. 16 for that just phone. Isn't enough.
Yeah.
No.
So but, they start at 32 now.
Yeah. Now that's huge. I mean. It's funny that Apple went to a larger phone and then people were complaining and wanted a smaller phone. They gave them a smaller phone, but the main complaint was that the capacity wasn't there.
$399 for 32 gigs, $499 for 128 gigs.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the memory chips are just cheaper in those capacities now than they are at 16.
Right, and it goes on sale Friday. Otherwise, exactly the same as a 5S. With externally and internally as a 6S. I think this is, for a lot of people, not just a price saver. They want a 5-inch phone, and this is a good choice for them.
Mine here. I love it. It's great. I use it as a pocket camera.
Do you use an SE? Oh, interesting.
I attempt that. Well, if you take – see, the whole conceit is if you take Instagram pictures of Apple products, you need a second camera to take the photos of.
And it has the 6S camera, though, not the 7 camera, right?
Yeah, the 6S camera.
Okay.
Which is still a pretty good camera.
And I'm going to start checking the metadata on your pictures that you post to the site, because if they're done with the Samsung, then I'm going to call you out.
Uh-oh.
Ever. Uh-oh. Nope, done with the iPhone 7 Plus, sir.
He wants portraits.
You can tell because the blacks aren't overly crushed and the sat's not boosted.
Wow.
Is that the case with the Samsungs?
See, it's really weird because Apple usually doesn't want you to have to make your own choices. They want to make those choices for you. But in the camera app for Apple, they just want to give you a natural picture and let you modify it, where Samsung knows rightly that people mostly just want to crush the blacks and boost the sats. They do it for you. Right. But I like doing it for myself, so it all depends on your preference.
Right. Well, there you have it. That's the those were all kind of slipstreamed announcements today with the press releases. We mentioned the bands. We mentioned the cases. iPhone,
the new app,
Clips,
Clips, which you can't get till next month.
No, unless you're Lauren Good.
Yeah, Lauren had a very extensive review of it. I guess she got a briefing of clips. It is how do you? It's a social app without the social.
They say it's like Prisma. It's like a front end for social sharing. So you take your photos, you make them the way you look like you want it, and then you send it to Instagram or to Snapchat or to something from there.
And is the sharing just kind of built in?
I'm almost certain it uses share sheets, which means as long as
it's just standard.
Live titles let you easily create animated captions just by talking as you record.
It's photo booth too.
It is, but you know, don't knock photo booth because that is the sleeper app on Macintoshes. It's like the
really. I'm not sure I've launched it.
You don't have. You do have kids.
People in Apple stores. I mean, I just eat famously, but almost anybody in an Apple store.
You know, you get if you want to show off a Mac, you just fire up photo booth and that's and walk away for a while.
And then people start lip syncing and dancing. And
so these filters do look. That looks like Prisma a lot. Yeah. You can drop in emoji, apply overlays like speech bubbles and arrows, set the mood with music that automatically adjusts to the length of your video. So, yeah, this is kind of cool. It's kind of Apple saying, well, you know, we're not going to bring back a social network. Ping wasn't such a...
Because we suck at those.
Ping wasn't such a hit.
And it's not tied to iMessage like the previous social... Like, you could draw and do stuff on iMessages previously, but this is its own thing and you can use it anywhere.
Oh, this is interesting. Clip recognizes who is in your videos and then makes smart suggestions for sharing. Just tap a name to send your video using messages or post to your favorite platforms. That's interesting.
I think it's going to be very popular.
If it's really easy, if it's just as easy as taking a picture within Instagram to post to Instagram, for instance, then I think why wouldn't you use Clips, right?
Right, right.
What's it going to do when it sees people in the background of your video?
Who, you don't know this guy, but...
You don't know this guy, but you should really share with him.
He is on Tinder.
The anti-photo bomb.
Swipe left to share to him. Or no, you swipe right if it's good, right?
I'm just going to go photobomb everybody.
Beard bomb.
I'm intrigued by this thing that you can, it will title it based on what you're saying.
Yeah, I think the review said that that was really hard to kind of to actually do.
Okay. Like, yeah. It doesn't do it well or?
I think it was just one of those things where maybe you get used to it. Maybe it's a skill you learn. But the fact is that this is not something that most people are really used to doing.
Because this sounds like you would film yourself and talk, and then it would take it as dictation and fit as much as it can on the screen with it one shot and then do another shot. Then do another. Like it would automatically caption it. It's like captioning.
And this sounds like a really lame problem, but there are a lot of people who once Instagram stories launched, they have huge followings on Instagram, but they also want to keep their Snapchat audience. Yeah. So they would try to save the clip and then re-upload it to one of them, and Snapchat would box it so you look like an Instagram refugee, and Instagram would make it like, you know, a little bit goofy. And if you could just create everything in one place and send it to all the different – we've talked about this before. There's new social networks every week, and we have the same – capacity to tend them. So some of them go fallow and some of them are like overgrown and we have to run around to Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. Wow. And just if you can make one place that's just more time effective to maintain all
you
these
know,
things. It's
this
easier.
Reminds me of the TV app in Apple TV, which became the homepage when Apple TV updated. And the idea was it didn't work, by the way, but the idea was if you know all of your shows here and so go through Apple to get Apple will intermediate to get you to what you want. And the only reason it didn't work is because it didn't have Netflix. So it not being complete, it's not really useful. But if this is like has complete social networks, this could be the front end to a social network for Apple. It's an interesting play. It's like saying, you know, it's kind of like sneaking in between.
Mediating.
Yeah, mediating. Yeah. It's a very interesting play. But it's a risky play, as Apple learned with Apple TV. If it isn't good, then people just got to turn it off and never use it. And I never use it. In fact, it really annoyed me that it became the home screen. You heard we had to explain to Andy how to make it not be your home button.
Yeah. I mean, it still hasn't launched outside the U.S., so it's a pain that I sympathize with that I haven't felt yet.
Oh, you haven't felt the pain. You will. You'll know.
We still have the videos app.
You go, what the hell happened to my app? What? Oh, the videos app. Man, did they trash that too? I mean, because you have to load the TV app, has to load everything from the internet that's available, you can't get to your videos until, you know, you got to wait. It's very frustrating. They killed the videos app and then replaced it with something that's much slower and more sluggish. See, that's the risk. Yeah. Don't mediate if you don't do it better. You have to make it a better experience. All right, clips coming sometime next month. At Lauren Good had a very extensive kind of feature review. I think did Lauren somehow get that?
I only saw Lauren, but I don't know if others did as well.
Lauren got the goods, as they say.
Very punny.
Good for her. Clips tells me Apple, one, wants to be relevant in social messaging. Two, still believes in the value of local and private. Three, sees messages as social. Yeah, the fact that it goes right to messages is kind of interesting.
I would not have been surprised if they didn't launch this app and we just saw this as new features bundled into the messages app in iOS 11.
They could have, right? Why did they? Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, this is a smarter way to go, though.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
We should set the reminder and the calendar for a year from now and see where we're at.
Yep. Remember,
it's always
clips.
The case.
Remember that.
Apple does these things. Yeah. Year later, hey, where'd that go?
Is clips the next cards? Remember cards?
Remember Texas Hold'em?
You know, actually, Andy Hertzfeldt told me that, not Andy Hertzfeldt, Bill Atkinson told me that he was not happy about cards. Because, of course, he has a photo card app. And apparently, shortly before Apple came out with cards, he showed Steve Jobs the photo card app. And Jobs was very, very interested. And then, like 6 months later, Apple does this cards app. And he was a little miffed. He got, what do they call that when you get?
Sherlocked.
Sherlocked, yes.
He got Sherlocked.
But you know, if you're...
Go ahead.
If you're good, you can Moriarty them right back, like Fantastic Hat.
You got Moriarty'd. Does Apple price fix?
I don't know the context for the question.
Yeah, Russia says they do. So you'd be hard pressed to find an Apple product at a discounted price, maybe $5, but never much more than that in the U.S. Russia says that's exactly what Apple does in Russia. Last August, they opened an investigation, and this week, Russia's Federal Anti-Monopoly Service found Apple guilty of price fixing. They says
because they don't discount.
Well, not Apple, but the channels, right? So Apple controls channel pricing too. You're not supposed to. Well, specifically, Apple apparently instructed 16 retailers in Russia to set the price at a certain amount. If a retailer was found to be selling the iPhone at a, quote, unsuitable price, Apple would contact them in order to order them to change the price or risk having the sales agreement terminated.
I mean, they've been successful. So
that must be what happens in the U.S. and Canada, right?
Yeah, so they have a perceived value thing where they don't like the idea of Apple stuff being on sale because it makes it seem cheap to them. But they're not entirely successful. Like companies like Walmart and Best Buy and others have sales all the time. It used to be more rare, but now it's become far more common because the products have become more mainstream and the markets have become more contentious. And I'm sure Apple hates that happens because to them it sounds like a BOGO deal at Verizon. Get two iPhones free. And it just makes their brand sound cheap. But, you know, they are not always successful in getting what they want.
Kind of a sad state with...
But for the most part, Apple is just trying to control its brand and how that brand is perceived. I mean, if you have, a sale every other week, like, you know, Samsung or some of these other companies do, where you buy one, get 15 free for all your neighbors and family and friends, then, you know, the worth of that brand goes down. If you sell your products for the price that they are, then, you know, Apple I think that Apple's products are fairly priced. So, you know, you want them or you don't.
Well, it's going to be like that. There's emails where they are colluding the way that the government found with Amazon, then they'll have a problem. But if it's just they get super angry, if it doesn't happen, throw a fit.
I will say that Apple plays hardball with the channels. So if you're an independent Apple reseller, Apple really controls the horizontal and the vertical, and you don't earn a whole lot from selling an iPhone or a Mac or something like that.
And I would submit it keeps prices artificially high because you can't discount. And if a retailer says, I'm going to give up 50% of my profit because I'd like to get more sales, they should be able to do so. That benefits us as the consumer.
But Apple is itself
the main purveyor, I mean, the main sales channel. So that's one of the awkward things.
Right. It would undercut Apple's own stores.
Right. And so I think that's part of where they're coming from a little bit more so than other companies, is they really want to make sure that they're not cutting the prices on themselves.
It's just a sad state when Russia does a better job of protecting consumers than we do.
If there's a Russian pad that goes against the iPad, I mean, let's not get into the dynamics of the Russian.
All right. I'm obviously, if Apple were violating the law in the U.S., there would be something going on, and apparently it's not.
In Soviet Russia.
Well, no, we see the Russian. I mean, we don't see the Russian. We see the sales in the U.S. I mean, despite, you know, what Apple would probably prefer, we see discounts at Walmart and Radio, and I was going to say Radio Shack. Wow. Best Buy and Costco.
Ooh, Radio Shack. Remember that?
We have deals all the time now for, like, Apple Watches and everything. It's just a question of Apple won't give them extra discounts or extra incentives the way some companies do, which makes it harder for them to do those sales, but they can still do them.
Let's take a break. Augmented reality in the news. I'm worried I might have to buy dinner for Robert Scoble in Paris. You're going to have to protect me here. I have a bet.
Is it your bet involving the clear iPhone or any form of augmented reality?
Well, you know what? I wish we're going to have to go to the tape.
Yes.
Fortunately, it's recorded. But
stop the record and rewind.
I'm pretty sure I said clearly. No, I don't mean like you can look through the camera like Pokemon Go and see what's out there. He said there will be a clear iPhone. And I said,
you can strap to your face and walk around.
If there is
a
clear iPhone, I will buy you dinner at the restaurant of your choice. He said, Paris. And I don't think he meant Paris, Texas. So anyway, take a break. We'll talk about augmented reality. There's news. But first, a word from Tracker. Do you lose things? I lose things. I lose my keys mostly. Remotes. Oh, yeah. I've lost some luggage. I've lost my wallet. I've lost my... The average American, according to Newsweek, spends 55 minutes a day searching for stuff. They know they have, but they can't find. You got a tracker. Good man. One of our audience members has a tracker. I put this on my keys. This is the tracker. It is a coin-sized, like a quarter... sized Bluetooth tracker. It weighs less than a quarter. It's very light because it's anodized aluminum. You can engrave it. This one's got our MacBreak Weekly album art printed on it using their UV LED printing, which gives you a really nice, permanent, colorful image on it. But more importantly, what it does. So you pair this to your phone, and a few things happen. You can customize two-way separation alerts, which I love. Because very often, you know, the best thing to not lose your keys is to get a warning the minute you get out of range. So as soon as you go more than 100 feet away from your keys, your phone goes, hey, you left your keys. Hey, and vice versa. In fact, there's even a button on the tracker you can press that will make your phone make noise so you can find it quickly. But the tracker also has the world's largest crowd GPS network. See, Tracker sold 4.5 million devices now. That means there are tracker users all over the world. And whenever a tracker user's app spots your tracker, it will send you an alert saying, hey, your keys, they're in Azerbaijan. How'd they get there? Don't know. But that's where they are, all over the world. So here's the deal. Tracker is available with a 30-day money-back guarantee. One of the reasons I really like it is because you can replace the battery. Some of these Bluetooth trackers, you cannot. You have to throw it out, which I think is wasteful. Not the tracker. Inexpensive, you know, those quarter-size batteries that you get at the drugstore. You just pop a new one in, and it's good to go. Because it's Bluetooth LE, it can last up to a year between changes. Stop losing your stuff today. Go to thetracker.com. Actually, the hardest thing to find in all of this will be the site, because they spell it weird. Thetracker. No E at the end there. Thetracker.com. Use a promo code MacBreak with your order and you'll get a free Tracker Bravo. They'll throw another one in. Thetracker.com, promo code MacBreak. stop wasting time searching for your keys. Start using the tracker. Actually, you know, it's funny. There's a psychological impact to this, too, because I haven't lost my keys since I got the tracker. Like, I just haven't even lost them. And I think just there's something about it. I just, you know, I don't know why, but it helps you just not lose things, too. TheTracker.com, promo code MacBreak for a free tracker Bravo with any order. Our guests are Adam Engst from The Great Tidbits, one of the world, I think the oldest, longest running Apple newsletter in existence. Been going on. When did you start?
April of 1990, coming up on 27 years.
Older even than the online store.
But yeah, I was going to say, I've got the shirt to prove it.
What was the Mac in 1990? Was it a Mac Classic? Or it must have...
Classics were available. Two CIs, SE30s, two FXs.
Oh, yeah, the SE30. Oh, the two FX, which stands
Wicked
for
fast.
Too freaking expensive.
Wicked fast. Jean-Louis Gasset told us.
Wicked fast. I have a 2FX motherboard, framed 2FX motherboard here. Somebody gave to
signed
me.
Signed by Jean-Louis?
I should get Jean-Louis to sign it. That's a great idea. Was that the first Mac with slots? I think it was.
Well, it was the Mac 2. I mean, it was in the Mac 2.
That's
line.
Right. The 2FX was in it. Was the
2 was it came a little later.
Up.
But the 2CI was the cut down one. And right. That's actually a bunch of really good Macs. That SE30 is one of my favorites.
Oh, the SE30. Remember that? Man, and that had a fast hard drive, and man, that thing was like that was a real computer finally.
And there was one slot, so I had an external monitor, an Apple RGB 13-inch color monitor plugged into it.
Oh, it had a little tiny slot. Yeah.
You could get one slot, one thing, and then later an Ethernet card. Remember the day?
And was it the SE30 because it was a 68,030 processor?
Yeah. Yeah.
The 030.
From the SE60.
Running at an amazing 16 megahertz, ladies and gentlemen. Not gigahertz, megahertz.
I'll bet it still boots faster than a modern-day Mac.
Hey, what? Before we get to the augmented reality, what? I think there are I saw a lot of tweets this morning, people just going, oh, crap, Apple's just done with the Mac. Is Apple out of the computer business?
No, I mean, last year they did the iOS devices first, and then later they did a press release and they put out the updated Kaby Lake. Sorry, was it not Kaby Lake? It was Skylake version of the MacBook. So I'm anticipating we'll just get.
Don't you feel like though, as a Mac lover, which I am, we're just keep getting blows to the head?
No, it depends on what Mac you want. They've updated their laptops, MacBooks, MacBook Pros. You know, that stuff has been updated.
Oh, those MacBook Pros. I'm sorry. You know what I ended up doing? I traded in my Touch Bar 15 with the piece of toast sized trackpad for the lower end function key 13. And this is a classic Mac. This is like, this feels like a great Mac. And it feels like to me like the last great Mac. It's not as fast. I know. Doesn't have as many Thunderbolt ports, just two instead of four. But this is like the old school Mac, and this is still giant, the trackpad, but not as giant. I don't know. I was really glad I traded in the 15 Touch Bar for the Function Key 13. This is.
I have one of each. I have a 15 Touch Bar, and I have a 13 Function Key, and I don't hug mine like you do yours. But you know, I'm not judging. I'm not judging.
You could be hugging it under the beard. We wouldn't know.
But there is something to be said for the lack of a pro desktop machine.
Four years, my friend.
You cannot ignore that. I don't know what's going on there. But to say that Apple is ignoring the Mac, I think is a bit misleading because they're not ignoring the Mac. It's certainly ignoring the pro desktop machines.
Yeah. I mean, they've updated the iMacs, as you point out, too. So
yeah.
We are due for an iMac update and a Mac Mini update. That may be gone, right? The Mini's...
That was a switcher machine.
Nobody's switching anymore.
No longer in the age of switchers. Yeah.
This is what I get when I go to the Mac, apple.com/Mac-Pro. I get a blank screen.
Well, you're on a Surface, Leo. I mean, in Apple's defense.
It says, you're using a Windows machine. You don't really... What is going on? What is this?
It's supposed to animate.
It's supposed to... Ah, there it comes. Here it comes.
Your Windows machine is just too slow to render.
It's too slow. I wonder, do they still mention Aperture at the bottom here?
I'm sure they did.
Oh, Lord. So they haven't, not only have they not updated the Mac Pro in years, they haven't updated the website in years.
It's still Apple computers on. No, I'm just kidding.
So I don't want them to do a new trash can Mac. I want them to do a return to the cheese grater Mac.
Or cheese grater 2.0.
Cheese grater 2.0.
Yeah.
I want an expandable Mac. But anyway, what I want doesn't seem to...
I think a lot of pros would certainly agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say that as someone who was always buying Mac Pros and Power Macs before that, the 27-inch Retina iMac is just a great machine.
It is a great... So it's what I have.
It's my desktop. Yeah. And that was the first one that really drew me away because, well, there wasn't anything new and with the longest time. And as long as I can get a second monitor on it, as you can with the 27-inch iMac, I'm happy. So, I mean, yeah, it's a 27-inch Thunderbolt, which isn't Retina and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's not the same height, so I have to put it up on a book so that it matches my...
yeah, that's what height. I do, too.
but other than that, you know, that's the 20... I have to say I can't complain too much about the 27-inch Retina.
Hey, you know what? I think they've taken the Aperture references out.
Yeah, I just went and looked. They did. I can't find it anywhere.
Instead, they have a Pixelmator reference, which is a little photography. Nope. They finally took it out. Okay. So there have been improvements to the Mac Pro. The website's updated.
It no longer runs Aperture. No.
In their defense, the Xeon E5 processor in this Mac Pro is not particularly out of date. But
it's the graphics cards. If they're going to solder the graphics cards,
the AMD Fire Pro GPU, yeah.
They should be updating those, you know, twice yearly.
Because they didn't give you the ability to put a new card in. If they had just done the cheese grater and we could put in a new card, that would be fine. But you can't. So anyway, Apple, I hope you're listening. Wouldn't it be, they can't do just like, it would be too much of a repudiation to say, yeah, we're going back to the cheese grater. They'll have to do
that. They did that with the buttonless shuffle. They did that with the fatty nano. Thing is, though, like, it turns out our customers really want. But with this, I can sort of feel this because there's always like, yeah, I have to clean up the spare room. And I know it's this huge job. And, but I have this. Like, it just feels like Apple's procrastinating at this point. Like,
yes,
they know they have
does.
To do something about it, but they just don't want to face it. So it's just like another year has gone by. We'll really fix it this year. Okay. Oh, it's December. Damn, we shipped an iPhone, though. Everything's good. Don't look over here.
And there's this really big campus now. We've got that.
Thank you for acknowledging that, Renee. I appreciate it because it does feel like that.
Go ahead, Adam.
I'm sorry.
I was like, with the number of people Apple has, really, you couldn't find someone. You know, grab some interns. It's like you're on the Mac Pro now. You know, just do something.
It's sort of like the Apple TV, where they went like 4 years between Apple TVs. And it's not that they weren't working on it. It's that at first they were trying all these different things. And it's possible that like, they were trying the cheese grater 2.0. They're trying an updated version of this can. And they're sort of stuck, like paralysis by analysis. They're stuck not shipping a product because they're not sure what product they should ship now. And they have to they still have to make it in the U.S.
Paralysis by analysis. That sounds like an alternative band name.
I like it.
One shot of antibiotics, and you're fine.
I like it. But just because we had an announcement today does not preclude something coming in the next month.
No,
not at all.
And do you think there will be something in that? I've seen nada rumors about Macs at all.
Well, the Macs are Kaby Lake updates. All it
they've got a processor. Yeah, they've got a new processor they could update to.
And they've got a 5K display, and it's DCI P3. It's still one of the best displays in the industry. There's very little, and they're not going to change the design of the iMac this year, so there's very little else to do besides changing the processor and the graphics card.
And update the Mac Pro.
But you know they're in this situation where if they release an update to any of the Macs and they upgrade the graphics card and you know maybe memory or something like that, then people complain that that's it, that's all you did. But if they don't update it, then people say, well, you're ignoring it, the Mac is dead. So they're in kind of a tough situation to try and update it. So typically what Apple has done is wait until that there's something significant, especially since they're 4 years into a Mac Pro. They want something significant so that, you know, people don't see a new Mac Pro and say, really? That's it? So, you know, we waited 4 years for this. So if they do update it, it has to be a significant update. And it's like Rennie said, you know, they want to. I'm sure that they want to. But, you know, as the years pass, they think, damn, missed it again, you know. So we'll just have to
wait. See you there, Mac Pro. Who are you looking at me? We see you. Stop running.
So Neil Seibert had an interesting take in his Above Avalon blog, saying that actually the AirPods at $159 are underpriced.
Yeah.
That the Apple Watch at $269 is underpriced.
So people look at the AirPods and they think it's about sound, but it's not. It's about those chipsets and the radio technology in them, and that's the expensive part. Because people say $149 for that crappy audio, and it's like, well, you've got a computer chip in each one, and you've got a lot of radio technology and sensors in each one, and that's what increases the price. And if Apple could have sold them for less, they would, because that's the best thing you can do when you want to take away people's headphone jacks.
And he makes a good case when he lists the other Bluetooth, you know, wireless headphones. They are more expensive. That this, I guess it's an expensive thing to make.
What people need to understand about the AirPods is it's about convenience. Audiophiles are not going to like the AirPods.
No.
99% of the world will love the AirPods because they're so convenient. You take them out of the case, you pop them in your ear, and they just work. You know, do they sound as good as, you know, $1,000 pair of headphones? No. Is that what you're looking for if you get AirPods? No. So for $150, I'd buy those all day long.
Yeah.
If I really want
a pair for the beard.
If I really want to listen to my my music in you know pristine audio, then first of all you shouldn't be listening to MP3 files. You know, there's a lot of different things besides the headphones, but. Even if I want to listen to the best audio that I can through headphones, I'll get my Futurisonics. I'll listen to them through those, and it'll be beautiful. But if I'm just going outside to, you know, walk around, I'll probably just take the AirPods, pop them in, and it's perfect.
And I find, frankly, if I'm going to do phone calls, I'll use the AirPods all the time. I really like them as a Bluetooth headset for phone calls.
I will say, after I mentioned the tiny little Chinese knockoff earbuds, I don't say knockoffs, but they're these super duper cheap Chinese single ear earbuds. I mentioned them on the January 3rd show. And I got a ton of people asking me for details because they're hard to find in terms of not knowing what to search on. And, you know, yeah, they're nowhere near as good as the AirPods, but they cost somewhere between $5 and $15. So
that's a good, you know, that's a good price.
If you're really not concerned about quality, which I'm not, if I'm listening to a podcast while I'm doing yard work, they're a really easy option. And I said I've heard from a bunch of people who are actually not happy about their AirPods, just taking them places because they're afraid they'll lose them. They're too, you know, they're too small. They can fall out. That kind of stuff. And for $160, they don't want to take that risk. I mean, yeah, the other ones maybe $300. They wouldn't take those either. It's still $160 as opposed to, you know, $12.
We reviewed this week on the new screensavers. Jason Howell reviewed these Audacy iSigns, which have a lightning connector. They're MFI. Mm-hmm. They're planar magnetic. They start at $399. I think this is the $599 iSign 20. First in-ear planar magnetic. Has anybody listened to these? I didn't get a chance to. Jason told me.
I didn't.
But
they would be lost on me.
I love planar magnetic over-the-ear headphones. I have a pair of Hi-Fi Mans. He said they really sound good. They even have an app. They have built-in DSP and a lightning connector. So you're getting digital out of the phone and then doing the conversion to analog in the headphone.
There's a couple of earbuds that I'm blanking on the names right now, which I actually think are more interesting yet. And they're a bit more expensive than the AirPods, obviously, but they do the kind of thing that they go in your ears, and then you have an app that will deal with ambient noise and deal with directionality and filter certain frequencies and things like that. And I think that's where the interesting stuff is going to be happening, because we live in very loud environments. And if we can start to control that via an earbud as well, then there's more going on than just playing audio from a source and trying to play it louder than the truck outside or the airplane or whatever it is.
All right, let's talk about augmented reality. Why are you laughing? It's the next big thing. Didn't you see the article in Bloomberg?
Watch Twitter. I don't need to read
I read Bloomberg. You don't need Gurman to tell you it's the next big thing. Apple is betting on augmented reality. We've known that. I mean, Tim Cook keeps saying augmented reality in interviews, so that's Tim signaling. But is it? I guess the leak is that this is going to be in the next iPhone, and that there will be, I don't know what. It's not going to be a clear. Is it going to be a clear iPhone?
So the thing is that the camera is the biggest seller. We saw that with the iPhone 7 Plus. Anything Apple can do to the camera to make people want it is what drives sales for the iPhone. And it's unclear. Yeah. You know, we've done a lot of DSLR stuff. They've got the depth of field stuff now. They've got the analog zoom stuff now. What else can you do with the camera? AR starts to become super interesting if you can put sensors in there that make people think that camera is even better and can do even cooler stuff like spatial mapping and all.
Yeah, they're complaining, comparing it to Google's Project Tango, which does that. So that you could hold up your phone in a store and you'd see where everything is.
Yeah, but Google's is made by a bunch of engineers and Apple's going to be driven by a bunch of designers. Right. So it's going to have a different sort of real world use case. Yeah.
Apple has, according to Gurman, hired a number of people to do this, including a couple of years ago, Mike Rockwell, who ran the hardware and new technologies groups at Dolby. Rockwell also advised Meta, a small firm that makes a $950 pair of AR glasses. The leaks seem to indicate that Apple will at some point do glasses, but that this year they'll put AR in the iPhone. Everything I can think of, and you know, this is where Apple really blows your mind, right? Everything I can think of right now is kind of incremental on existing augmented reality stuff, kind of Pokemon Go writ large.
Or HoloLens.
Yeah. In fact, they have people from the HoloLens group, from the Google Glass group, somebody from Amazon's virtual reality platform.
I forget who it was, but there's a third party helmet that lets you put an iPhone in that makes it work like a HoloLens, and they could not stop saying we had them on,
and it was awesome, and it was better than HoloLens
because because the silicon in Apple's phones is so great,
right?
Like it's so much power. So
yeah, we did this on the new screensavers about a month ago. He demonstrated, you know, we were in augmented reality here in this studio. And, you know, you could put stuff on a table. And then you look over to the right, and there's a brick wall over here, and a hole opened up in the wall, and you could step into a bookstore and become suddenly virtual reality. It was a very impressive demo.
And if you think about what pegs an A10 processor, it's the depth of field and sometimes the filters that you use for photos, but very little else really pegs that. And Apple is still increasing the power of those processors. So they're going to want to use that for something, and that AR makes a great use case.
Apple has also opened an office in Wellington, New Zealand, and lured employees from Weta Digital, which is, of course, a special effects company that worked on The Hobbit and King Kong and Avatar. They acquired Matayo, which was an AR software company, and their former CIO now works with Apple. Flyby Media last year, which makes an AR-related camera program. And Tim Cook visited Magic Leap last summer. So, which is, of course, the secret, super secret AR play that everybody's...
Prime Sense.
Yeah. Prime Sense, the Israeli company that did the Kinect for Microsoft. They've got people from the Oculus team. So, this is what Apple can certainly do. They've spent a lot of money pulling a lot of people together. This is what they did before the Apple Watch came out. But I'm just curious, mostly because I'm worried about having to buy dinner in Paris... I'm just curious what you think we'll see this year.
Yeah, hard to know. I do think that Apple is going to be trying to bring more into this space, but you know, unless we're taking Clip as an example of where they're going, it's just hard to predict.
Right.
Apple always wants to excel when it comes out with a new technology. And, you know, we have to consider, what are they going to have to do to bring AR to the masses? Because that's what's going to make it huge. That's right. What's going to make it a blockbuster product, when the masses can just use this stuff.
Right.
That's what happened with, you know, iPhone and iPad. As much as people like to talk about sales of iPad, it's still hugely popular. So are they going to be able to take a technology like AR and bring it to the masses, or are they going to bring it out slowly, which kind of tips their hand, you know, of where they're going?
Right.
So, you know, it's a tough thing. They're in a tough spot with this.
There's a super interest. Like, Apple doesn't do chipsets; they do feature sets. Like, they never did NFC; they did Apple Pay, and they didn't do two cameras. They did a camera system that happens to have two lenses that gives you depth of field and analog zoom. And this is the same thing. I think Tim Cook even said this out loud, that AR to them is not a product; it's a core technology, the way that like LED is to displays. And I wouldn't be surprised if Apple decides on certain key features, like they want to have the ability for you to change focus points after you've taken a photo, or they want you to have the ability to rotate an image after you've taken it, or maybe live photo suddenly becomes way more dynamic, and they'll pick whatever they think are the one or two marquee features that'll make a great product, and we'll see AR start coming out that way, and then they'll start building out. I don't think we'll see AR goggles this year. That sounds like it's still a little ways out, especially to make an Apple style product out of them that has decent battery life and is light enough and is casual enough that you could wear it without, you know, freaking people out. But I think we'll absolutely see those features in whatever the iPhone 8 camera has, and iPhone 9 beyond that.
What would you imagine this year, though, Apple would do? Would it just be an AR app? Would they change Springboard to include AR in it?
Oh, God, it's like Pokemon Go, but with Springboard. It's a real world trying to catch the icons as they're...
Was it Gene Munster? Who was it that was talking about this? Of course, Gene is famous for promoting Apple doing a television set for years.
They just have to go to Johnny Ives' house to use it.
Yeah.
He told
watch TV with Johnny.
He told CNBC that Apple's next iPhone will lead to a big paradigm shift. An augmented reality will be the key, laying the foundation for the next computing paradigm. Wow. But what, I don't know what could it be? How would this look? So, I mean, look, it's clear that Apple's going in big on this. And I'm asking you to predict something that traditionally is a very difficult thing. Apple, you know, we all knew Apple
obvious
was making a smart... Yeah, obvious in hindsight. We all knew Apple was making a smartphone. We had no idea what the iPhone really was going to mean. What do you think this is going to look like this year?
What's difficult is that we don't know how far along Apple is.
Right.
That's the difficult part. You know, they could be ready to release right now and they're going to put it in the next iPhone, or they could be, you know, a year before they're even ready for that.
But what would it be? Would it be it's not going to be a clear phone. I don't even think that makes sense. I mean, nobody wants
the battery
phone.
Wouldn't be clear, right?
So yeah, you can't be looking at the battery. Maybe the little bit on the top would be, I don't know what would be clear. So I mean, I think I'm safe on that bet. But it might appear to be clear, because if you hold it up and you've got your camera showing what you're looking at, it might look
like
you're looking
through. Xiaomi did that, right?
Well, we've seen that. That's what Pokemon Go does, too. I mean, that's not...
Oh, but when you have the bezel-less, like I think Xiaomi did that picture where you have the bezel-less phone with the throughput camera, and if you just hold it up and it looks like there's no, almost like a very thin outline of a phone, because the camera's placing what was on the screen and the screen goes edge to edge.
I know that Scoble's going to say, that's what I meant when that comes out. And he's going to say that. I know he's going to do that.
He said, Robert, I couldn't understand you over the shower.
Well, of all of the analysts, he's the most aggressive about how far Apple's going to take it this year. Like, this is going to blow your minds.
I mean, they're a big, wealthy, resource-intensive company, and they have a conservative an audacious prototypes, and sometimes they can't deliver.
Now, here's something I'd like to see, which is holding your iPhone up to, you know, just, you know, having it be, in essence, seeing someone's face and then identifying them. Because one of the problems that, you know, when you know lots of people or you see someone very infrequently, you're like, yeah, I recognize who you are. I just can't for the life of me pick out your name.
That I like.
The augmented reality that would.
Yeah. I'll tell you my name. No. Don't tell me your name. I want to AR you. No. My name is. Don't say it. I'm ARing you. Oh, just stay started. Stop moving.
Are you Jonathan? No, sorry.
Oh, so close.
Well, here's a concept from a guy named Gabor Balaw. You show your daughter, and then the phone says, Sandra's calm and seems fine. Her heart rate is 72 beats per minute. Her body temp is 98.8. Her breathing is 24 breaths per minute. We've now synced with health. Is that doable?
That's kind of creepy.
I don't think so.
And would you want it to? I mean, I put the phone down and talk to your daughter.
Yeah, I'd be turning those things off.
Yeah. She looked.
Can you imagine what my heart rate would be if I walked by a Heineken display?
Can you imagine what Michael's face would be telling you if you held the camera up to him like that, Jim? Your son is incredibly pissed right now, Jim. He wants to listen to Megadeth if you put the camera down.
But on the other hand, holding the phone up and doing what you were saying, Renee, that's Renee Ritchie, used to work with him. That kind of thing would be very useful, especially as we get older.
Especially if you have ear pods and you can do it. Sorry, AirPods, you can do it exclusively.
Yeah, you do it from down low. I mean, you're pointing the iPhone up from your waist. You're like, who is that person?
I'm not identifying people.
And the AirPods are saying, a little to the left. I can't see.
Hi. Yeah, Renee.
Analyzing. Zoom resolve.
Yeah, really. Hundreds of engineers are working on whatever it is. I mean, this is the kind of exciting.
I mean, we hear hundreds of engineers in augmented reality, and how many are working on a Mac Pro?
Right.
100 are on cars.
Yeah. Could you just put 5 on a Mac Pro? I think that'd be enough.
I mean, they're different. They're really different engineers, though. It's not like.
You're right.
It's not like, oh, I wanted the car, but now they gave me the Mac Pro. Where do the wheels go? Not sure.
I could see glasses. Glasses make sense. I don't know what you do with the iPhone this year that makes it anything more than just glorified Pokemon Go. But then that lack of vision is, you know, maybe just what makes means
just
that.
Be odd. Like, I'm not saying they would never do it, but it would be odd to see Apple, you know, selling this.
Yeah, I think people would revolt. I think people say, no, we're already looking at our phones too much. We don't want that.
That's exactly the point. We don't know where they are with this or what it is that they plan to bring it to the masses.
Right.
Could they do something with the cameras so that you could hold the phone in a much more sort of normal way, you know, like sort of like, can I get it in the picture here? You know, so that you're looking at it, you know, kind of flat, but the camera is seeing straight ahead.
Right.
Because that's the problem. I mean, you walk around in a city and people are sitting there looking at their iPhones, but they're not holding them straight up in front of their faces. They're holding them flat. And so you sort of need a camera.
You can always tell when somebody's playing Pokemon Go because they are holding it in a way that they could see the sidewalk.
I apologized for that, Leo.
I should also point out that one has to presume that Apple isn't light years ahead of everybody else in this space. Microsoft's been working on this for a while, and the HoloLens is very limited in terms of field of view because it's a standalone pair of glasses that has its own battery, CPU, operating system. It is a very limited developer edition, and even Microsoft says it's 2 years before we're going to have the first consumer version, HoloLens 3.0. We're going to, in fact, because we want to get that out sooner, we're skipping the intermediate version. So I can't imagine, maybe Apple is light years ahead of where Microsoft is, and Microsoft is 2 years away from a wearable set of
Daniel Rubino's HoloLens, and it was funny because he had Skype running, and I didn't know it. Then I turned around, and I felt like Skype was, you know that game when kids stand behind you and you try to turn and they turn with you so you can't
see? I hate that.
That's what it felt like. Like, where's Skype? Where's Skype? And I would keep turning around and just back.
Well, that's the other risk. I mean, if Apple's working in a vacuum, there's also the risk that it makes something that the consumers are going to say,
no thanks.
No thank you.
Like 3D. Yeah, 3D.
I would even submit that VR is not killing it in the way that
I would agree.
Some people thought would.
And that's why Apple didn't go into it. They didn't see the market there.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We were talking.
I mean, they did the same thing with NFC. They were very clear that they were not going to do anything in NFC because they didn't see a market there, and they were right.
I might argue with you on that one.
Well, no, they were right at the time years ago when people were putting NFC in devices, but there was nothing for NFC to actually do at that
time. That dopey idea of tapping things to.
Yeah, so it was kind of like a checklist item. Well, we have NFC. You can't do anything with it, but we have it. So, that's kind of what I was looking
at. Do you think that was a disadvantage, though, that Apple maybe as a result is a little behind in NFC? I mean, you could do a lot more with the NFC in an Android device than you can in an iPhone.
No, I don't. I think Apple went exactly the way that they wanted to go with that stuff. So, yeah, I think it's a matter of use. If you look at what Apple Pay can do, I mean, that's something that we use. I know.
I use the NFC on my Android devices all the time to pair to my camera. It's a much easier process to tap the phone to the camera, copy photos over for my Canon, my Leica, and my Sony. All three have NFC on the side. You can't do it with an iPhone because Apple won't let you get access to the NFC chip. I mean, there are, I think, very useful things you can do with NFC.
Probably not use cases I think would cost. Everything for Apple is like, will people not buy large iPhones if we don't include this?
Well, you know, Apple's got the courage to do a lot of things, including...
Now here's something they could do with augmented reality, which is a really, really small, easy thing to do, is they could build automated QR code scanning into the camera app. While it's already got it, it's just very specific to certain things.
But isn't QR codes,
every boarding pass, they're used in a lot of places, but a lot of it is that Apple never built it in, so you've got to get an app, and that's a problem.
That would give currency a leg back up in the market, Adam.
Yeah, as I said, if you look, every boarding pass in the world is a QR code now. QR codes are out there. They're just used in very specific fields, and because they never were able to get the chicken and egg mass market problem. As soon as you have a specific spot, that's what they're replacing.
You mean like ambient QR reading? You're just walking down an aisle in a store, and it's scanning around you as you're walking.
Well,
discount on tomato can.
Super easy.
Oh, that'd be great. It could scan the shelves as I'm walking and tell me that the tomato soup that I like is on sale.
All right. Well, we'll find out. You know, this is where Apple, has in the past blown people's minds by taking a product others were doing and putting Apple's unique user-friendly spin on it and making it a real deal.
They mainstream it.
They haven't done it in a while. But this could be the one. You can sense my skepticism, I guess. I wish we were talking about colorware and how they do those paint jobs for your AirPods. I want this one. It's a little pricey.
I know.
$18.99.
A little expensive. It turns your iPhone 7 Plus into a vintage Macintosh. It's a custom painted retro edition. Designed to look like a Mac from the 80s, maybe that Mac SE you were talking about, Adam.
The Mac
costs more than the Mac SE.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the price on the SE?
I think this includes the phone, though, so that's the difference. They're buying black models and giving them a custom paint job. So, in effect, it's $930 for the paint job.
But what I do want a set of those purple AirPods.
Aren't they pretty? Oh,
yeah, they are.
Yeah. Those are expensive. 100, what was it, 100? You have to send in your own AirPods because they don't have any more. So you send them in and you lose them for 3 to 4 weeks, and then it's like $160
It's 6 weeks to get them from Apple, and then 3 weeks to get them.
So I'm just waiting for Adam to buy us all a pair.
Spend that tidbit money.
Yeah, right. $2,900 for an SE, so it's still cheaper than an SE.
Okay, good.
Wow.
For less than an SE, the iPhone...
$5,500 for a Mac 2. Man, remember the day?
Wow.
Jeez.
You'd get it in 3 weeks. I'm kind of tempted. It's off.
You can do that or buy a house in Canada.
So wait. The red one was hard to justify, but this one...
You get a... it's a 256 gig storage. The first 25 had a number of authenticity. Those are sold out. It's the A1661, which is their SIM-free unlocked phone. You include the AirBuds. I wonder what the front. I wish they'd show the front. Let's see if we could see what the front looks like.
For $15.90, $15, Leo, you could get that Elago Apple Watch stand that makes it look like.
I have that. I already have that.
There you go.
That's cheap, and I love that. I put my Apple Watch in that. In fact, I don't even want to take my Apple Watch off the nightstand because I have a little tiny, teeny, weeny Macintosh.
It's so cute.
So cute. I want to see the front, but every time I click this arrow, nothing happens. Again, I think they know I'm on a Windows machine. That's too bad because this really, I mean, boy, that's tempting. Seems like a lot to pay, though, $1,000. They must do this by hand. Delicate little tiny fingers.
I don't know how they do it, but I want it. I know. Not that. I want those AirPods.
Okay.
I want those.
Apple, let's see, is opening a big Chinese office with a lot of engineers. That's probably just to make the Chinese government happy, right? Two additional R&D centers in China. They plan to spend at least $500 million on research in China.
There's a lot of talent there, too.
Absolutely. And would you make a Chinese-specific phone maybe at this place? Or
if the Chinese government told you to, you might.
One of the announcements today we didn't talk about was Swift Playgrounds got 5 additional languages, including simplified Chinese.
Interesting.
There's a lot of work being done just to make the Chinese experience better for the Chinese customer base.
They want that market badly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's huge.
Yeah.
They have to have it.
Yeah.
It's huge.
They're going to build research facilities in Shanghai and Suzhou, as well as Beijing and Shenzhen.
Voila.
And it's they said they're going to spend $507 million on these. That's a lot of money.
A lot of renminbi.
A lot of renminbi. It's 3.5 billion renminbi, to be specific. Do not charge your iPhone in the bathtub.
Oh, God. I felt so bad.
So he, he had an extension cord? He plugged his charger into an extension cord from the hallway and rested it on his chest so he could use his iPhone in the bathtub. The charger touched the water and zapped him. So don't. Why would you? Don't.
The mind boggles.
It wasn't the charger that did it. It was the extension cord.
Extension cord, yeah.
The charger's only, 5 volts, so it wouldn't kill you. You'd feel it, but he wouldn't. But he plugged it into the mains.
And that's 230 volts there.
Yeah, that's a significant difference. All right.
Yep.
I almost didn't even want to say it. It's such a sad story. How about hack?
Don't put anything.
Don't put.
It's a public safety. It's a public
safety. Don't use your hair dryer in the bathtub. Don't put a fan on the edge of it. I remember a James Bond movie ages ago where, he's getting attacked in his hotel room. The guy falls in the bathtub. He throws the fan in there and it kills him. And he says, shocking. Shocking. How about turning your Apple Watch into a Game Boy Color? There's a good use for an Apple Watch. Gabriel O'Flaherty Chan. He has figured out how to he put a Game Boy emulator known as Giovanni on his Apple Watch, and he's even got controls on the screen.
So great. Love this stuff.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's like having having Doom on your touch bar.
Yeah, and by the way, it's an open source project on GitHub. So,
I'm not a big, Game Boy user, but I was pretty impressed with what he did. You have to be impressed with that.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. He can't do everything, but it's a little bit sluggish and unresponsive, he says. But it just proves that it is possible. Look, he's playing Pikachu. He's playing Pokemon. Wow. And he's got the best name ever. Gabriel O'Flaherty Chan. He's from Toronto, of course. I'm just getting all the little bits out of the way so we can get to your picks of the week. Anything else that we missed here? There's actually a lot of little Apple Music Ambassador Program offers Twitter promoters 3 free months for pushing streaming service. Drake's More Life shatters streaming records with 89.9 million streams on Apple's Music in 24 hours. Was that a an Apple Music exclusive?
No, Spotify had it as well.
It just shows you 89.9 million streams. Chance the Rapper's new album is an Apple Music exclusive, and Chance has leaked out that Apple paid him $500,000 for 2 weeks of exclusivity. Apple Music, 89.9 million streams for More Life, Drake's latest project, compared to Spotify's 61.3 million. So music lovers, at least Drake lovers, love Apple Music.
I've actually run into something that Apple Music does significantly better than Spotify recently, which is I had no idea. Spotify doesn't talk about this, but they have a 10,000 track limit. So you have more than 10,000 tracks, you get a little message that says, "Epic collection, friend. You don't have to delete some if you want to add more.
You're done."
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was like, really? 10,000 limit? And if you go to there's a support thread about this, which I made the mistake of subscribing to, and now I get like 10 messages a day of people who run into this and are mad. So
does Apple have a limit at all? Or
I think 100,000.
100,000. So, iTunes Match, Apple Match used to be 25,000, I think, right?
10,000 just seems low, though. I mean, lots of people have music collections larger than that.
Yeah. Well, we know particularly, Jim's bootleg collection is bigger than that. iOS 11 is on its way, and it will be 64-bit only, which means that a lot of apps will no longer work.
Or my bank app will finally update from iOS 4.
According to a company called Sensor Tower, about 8% of all the titles in the App Store are not 64-bit and will not work with iOS 11. But 8% is a lot. That's 187,000 apps.
I thought they would do that last year. I'm surprised they waited until this year. And those aren't maintained new,
they're mostly fart apps and flashlight apps. It's not.
There's a lot of games and little things that people aren't updating for one reason or another. We've been hearing people talk about this on our mailing list, Tibbetts Talk, where people are saying that they are probably not going to upgrade to iOS 11 right away because
just for that.
There are apps they still use.
Yeah.
And they're just mad. They don't want to lose their app just because. And, you know, they get the warning now. This app may slow down your iPhone, which is.
Is that what that warning means? Because I do see that. That means it's a 32-bit app.
Yeah. And it's not true as far as anyone can tell.
No, it doesn't slow it down.
Yeah.
Well, the ironic thing is Zen Garden. Remember, they used that as a demo for how fast the iPad was. That's one of the apps that says this is too old. It's just going to slow you down.
Although Zen Garden 2, I believe, works.
But I don't see a slowdown, right?
No.
Apple will now sell you Apple Care on your iPhone, even as much as a year after you buy it, Apple Care Plus, I should say. That's good. Although, presumably, you can't buy it after you break it. So, you still probably want to get it before you break your iPhone.
Yeah, and I don't believe they give it to you for, like, if you wait a year and then get it, I don't believe you get to add that extra year of coverage.
No, so you better buy it. Right. But that's not new. They used to do that with Apple Care for Macs and stuff. You had a year
they
to buy
it. They still do,
yeah.
This is just new for the Apple Care Plus for iPhone.
Okay. Okay. And what do you get with Apple Care Plus? 2 years of expert telephone
support?
You
get the 1 year plus an extra 2 years of support.
Okay. And you can have two incidents of accidental damage, although read carefully.
Maybe 2 years for iPhones,
The accidental damage you still have to pay. And, I probably should get that for my daughter, though. I'm just thinking.
I don't think they'll fix her if she breaks.
No, you can't get Apple Care on your kids? Hey, what's the deal? All right, let's take.
I want $130 complete teeth replacement.
He was skateboarding down the hill, and
oh man, I know those stories. Jeez. All right, let's take a break. Your picks, get them ready, gentlemen. Our show today brought to you by Jamf. Jamf. Do you know what Jamf is? It's the gold standard for managing Apple devices in the workplace. 10,000 people use Jamf to manage over 7 million Macs, iPads, and iPhone devices. So if you're in IT, you probably know JAMF. It provides the user-friendly experience your employees expect from their Apple devices, but gives you in IT the power to be your most productive. Jamf Pro, which used to be called Casper Suite, is the Tool IT needs to deploy devices without physically touching them, automate device status and updates, keep inventory data of hardware and software, and of course, ensuring device security. Jamf Pro offers a customizable enterprise app store, too. That's nice, because then you could have your users install apps and update the software themselves with, you know, approved apps from the company. These features reinforced by world-class support and training make Jamf the best solution for managing Apple. Remember when IBM announced, we're going to give our employees a choice, and suddenly they were a massive Mac house. A bunch of IBM PC users switched to the Mac. That was a couple of years ago. And, of course, what did they do? They used Jamf Pro to deploy those new Macs quickly. And over a year, the company expanded its choice program to support, I think this is probably more than you have, 90,000 Macs. The largest,
wow.
IBM of all people, the largest Mac deployment on earth. And how do they do it? Well, they do it with only five IT admins, thanks to Jamf Pro. That's how good it is. Jamf Now, formerly Bushel, is a fast, accessible, affordable cloud-based management solution for Apple devices in a small business. You don't even need IT if you've got Jamf Now. Anyone can support users in the workplace. It's everything you need for your small business and nothing more. No training or documentation required. So you've got Jamf Pro for the big installation and Jamf Now for the small business. You can use Jamf Now to do a lot of the things that you need to do, like remotely configure device settings, mass distribute apps, enforce security measures. You know, it always drives me crazy when people lose an iPhone and I say, do you have the Find My Phone turned on? And they go, oh, no. Well, this enforces your employees' turn on lost mode and passcodes, and it lets you set up, manage, and protect your Apple devices in minutes. So whether you have 10 or 10,000 devices, Jamf helps you empower your end users to be more productive, all while making your life easier. Jamf, JAMF.com/MacBreak. Go there right now to discover how Jamf makes life easier for IT and users. And you can get a trial of the robust Jamf Pro solution or get started immediately with a free Jamf Now account. In fact, if you're a really small business, the first three devices are free forever. Ah, like that. If I all I have to do is fire 17 people and I can use that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It's a joke. Jamf Now. The first three devices free forever. Jamf, JAMF.com/MacBreak. Nice. Our picks of the week. Let us start with you, Renee Ritchie. I kind of gave your pick away already.
No, it's fine. So one of the things that I saw, whenever Apple introduces a product, people who have the previous product get kind of a little bit really angry because they didn't get the new product back when they bought the original product. So today, especially on social media, I'm seeing some angry people saying, I had to settle for a crappy jet black iPhone, and I would have gotten a red iPhone if only Apple had made it available originally. I hate everything.
Or how
am I going to afford a red eye? So the thing is, this is, again, the battery version, but you can get a product red case that looks really spiffy, and you could put it on any color iPhone
That's what I'm getting, Lisa. Yep.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. I'm in super trouble now. Sorry, Lisa. But you really can't. The case looks fantastic. They make it for iPhone 7. You can get it for older versions of iPhones as well. And you can get multiple colors, so you can change up your look all the time if you want. But if you have iPhone 7 product red lust in your heart, you can assuage that right now by just getting the case available online. Not that expensive. $35 for the silicone version. Slightly more, I think $55 or $65 or something for the leather version. Looks really good. Holds up really well. Soft touch. Less chance of dropping it, all those beautiful things, and you will be as product red as anybody else.
Product red!
And it's a great cause.
It is a good cause. So it's a nice time to get that. So how about, let's go next to the bearded one, Jim Dalrymple of The Loop.
Okay, so I always give you a great rock, hard rock type band, but listening so that everybody can enjoy.
Yes.
So this week, I am going to recommend a band called Volbeat, V-O-L-B-E-A-T. And specifically, if you want an album, Seal the Deal and Let's Boogie.
Yeah, baby.
That song is incredible. I love that song. Seal the Deal and Let's Boogie. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I listen to it on their website, Volbeat?
I don't know.
I think I can listen to a little bit of it here. How about The Devil's Bleeding Crown? What's your favorite? That's a good one.
Seal the Deal is my favorite.
All right, let's go down to Seal the Deal here. Maybe you have to buy the album to get that one. Oh, there it is. Rock and Roll. Oh, I'm on a Windows machine. You can't hear it. Sorry.
I don't Windows know. Machines have no sound,
man. I don't know what's going on. I probably turned the sound off.
It's the audio card.
If you go down to settings, like three or four layers down, you'll see the old network icon.
Ah, there it is. Oh, it's got a nice boogie. Oh, they and only let you listen to a little.
His voice is amazing. His voice is amazing. Nice. I love his voice. So that is just a great band. It's not, you know, like death metal or anything. It's just
great. It's got a nice boogie sound.
Straightforward.
I love this. That's good, Adam. You're not dancing.
Mac break boogie. Mac break boogie.
Seal the Deal and let's boogie for a while. What nice. A great time. And see, nice. Now I'm going to leave and I'm going to go outside and listen to that.
That's awesome. I really
I
like that.
I die in the snow.
Volbeat, Volbeat. And they are online. Adam Engst from tidbits.com. Your pick of the week.
Follow that one.
Right. Yeah. Can you boogie to what you got?
I'm almost embarrassed now because this is for
no.
This is a little bit self-promotional, but Joe Kissel, his most recent book, Take Control of Your Digital Legacy. This is something that it really is for adults. It's for people who actually are thinking about the future because people know about wills and all that, but what about all your digital photos? What about your Facebook page? I mean, I don't know if you talked about Tom Nagrino dying recently.
Oh, we didn't mention that. In fact, we probably should mention that.
We could talk more about that. But in any event, but we all grow up in the digital world now. You know, we have a huge amounts of our lives online. And what this book does is it helps you figure out how to deal with all that. Because it's not just as simple as saying, oh, I want my photos to go to my kids. Well, do they know how to get into your Mac? Do they have to log into your iCloud account to be able to deal with stuff? How are they going to get access to your email to turn off subscriptions to things? So there's all sorts of these things that you have to think about. And either you're doing it for yourself because you're thinking ahead, or a lot of us, frankly, need to talk to our parents who also still have iPhones and iCloud accounts and email and Facebook pages and Twitter accounts and photos and videos and just all that stuff that used to be kind of easy to hand down to your kids. And now it's not nearly as straightforward. You can't just say, here's the box of grandma's stuff. Now you have to say, here's 17 accounts. And if you want to keep the custom domain name for the family, you're going to have to pay up, you know, to so-and-so in a year and all these different things. So that's what Joe goes through in Take Control of Your Digital Legacy. And it's well worth reading. It's not nearly as fun as a Red Case or a hard rock band, but it will make your life easier.
Yeah, you know, I got a call on the radio show on Sunday. Oh, it broke my heart. A father who'd lost his son, and he had access to some of his stuff, but he had his son's phone, and he wanted to get into his iPhone because he thought there might be pictures there and other memorabilia. Yeah. And he was wondering how he could get into the phone.
This is absolutely the thing you have to do. And this is one of the reasons why it's not just, I'm thinking about my will and my estate, whatnot. This is you could be in a car accident tomorrow. Would your spouse or your family members or whatnot be able to get into your iPhone, be able to get into your online accounts? And that could be, I mean, let's say you're a business owner. That could be the end of your business if people can't access the bank accounts and all of that kind of stuff. So you've really got a plan we call it the hit by a bus problem, but, you know, it can happen to anyone. It doesn't take that much. So really think ahead a little, folks.
I agree. I use LastPass. LastPass has a really nice emergency access feature that lets you share your passwords posthumously with family members or an executor of your estate or an attorney, and it's something to look into. But I think you should get this whole tech control thing because it's more than just doing that. I think that's really
absolutely. And
really,
you know, good. Same thing. 1Password has a family membership. That's you know, again, for sharing those because you need to be able to get into this stuff. But there's a lot of stuff to think about. I mean, those photos, for instance, how are they going to stick around? You know, what kind of media are you put them on? How are the people who the person is going to be your digital executor? How are they going to get that? And how are they going to preserve those photos going into the future? Because it's not as simple as just having the box of photos or the albums anymore. You want to pass that stuff down, you got to think about how it's going to live into the future.
It was Annie Inocco who first mentioned Tom Negrino's passing. Anybody want to say, I did not know him, did not work with him, but I think a lot of us have seen his books, his articles in Macworld and...
I knew Tom moderately well. I won't say, you know, he wasn't a super close friend, but we certainly, you know, interacted for years and years and years in the industry, saw each other at all the Macworld expos. And Tom was a great guy, a fabulous Mac writer. He was a pro for 30 years. I mean, he wrote around 50 plus books. I have thousands and thousands of articles, I think. And he was smart. He was capable. He always really knew how to hone in and find the right piece of thing, you know, the thing you needed to point out in an article, which was great. And what a lot of people didn't know is Tom was born with spina bifida. And so he always, you know, walked with a cane and was, you know, kind of hunched over and whatnot. And my understanding from reading what he had written later on, he never talked about this in person, but my understanding from what he wrote about later is that he was in constant pain because of that. And actually, even surviving spina bifida as an infant is unusual. And it just thing after thing after thing. I mean, he had a heart attack. He got cancer in 2010. It came back in 2014. One of the medications gave him a stroke. It was just heartrending. But he dealt with it as well as I think you would want to be able to. And in the end, as you can read from a lot of the online stuff, he took advantage of California's End of Life Option Act and actually ended his own life before the cancer did it for him, however slowly and horribly.
I'm Ryan, really glad we have that rule. I think that's really important to have that control of how you get. He is memorialized on his Facebook page now. If you want to leave some thoughts or anything, you could do that at facebook.com/Negrino, Negrino. I hate to end on a sad note, but I'm really glad. No, you know, I almost forgot. And Andy had tweeted about it, and I almost forgot to mention it. Andy, by the way, he's not dead. He's just under the weather. He'll be back next week.
He's merely pining for the fjords.
He's pining for the fjords. I bet he is right about now. He had to skip CocoCon. He was going to be in Yosemite this week. We didn't expect to have him because we thought he'd be in Yosemite. So that's got to hurt.
He heard Georgia Dow was going to be there, and he just bailed.
I know. Well, Georgia is there. And here's the good news. She's going to come up and visit us. She'll be my guest host on the new Screensavers on Saturday. So I finally get to meet. I've never met Georgia in person. I'm very excited about that.
When do I get to come up?
Hey, anytime. You live nearby.
Yeah.
You want to be on the show?
I should come up.
We will get you on. I will even send a car for you if you want and your beard.
No. Okay. I'll drive up.
Okay. I can get a motorcycle with a side card for the beard. So that'll be fun. Okay, we'll contact you, Jim. I'd love to have you on. That'd be really, really, really fun. Love to do that. I never even, you know, I just assume that you're too big for us. So I'm glad to know that you're interested. We will make a point. And Georgia will be. Now, prepare me, Renee. Is she 4'11"?
I'm going to get in trouble no matter what I say.
I feel like I don't know because, you know, on the screen, you guys are
she's
all the
like
same
5'4".
Size. Okay. She's not tiny.
Yeah.
Well, as we need to know because we have to put a box out for her. She is.
but her personality is huge.
Her personality is great. I cannot wait to meet her. And of course, she can kick my ass. So I'm going to stop right here.
Yeah. Don't ask her for the jiu-jitsu demo, Leo. She may not be as cautious as I was.
I forgot to tap out when we were wrestling. Yeah.
But you were choking me, so
that's right. I forgot to notice that you were tapping.
Yep.
Respect the tap. got to respect the tap. Oh, this was fun. It's great to have all three of you. Thank you so much. The A team was here today.
Eight from Montreal, Canada.
Rene Ritchie, he's at imore.com. Make sure you check out all the great stuff he does there, including the great Apple Talk podcast. Jim Dalrymple is at loopinsight.com. He's a podcaster, too. That's why he has such a fancy microphone. Very, very cool, that blue microphone. I really like that. I saw Bob Dylan record an album on that. That's a serious microphone. That is no,
yeah.
That's no toy.
I love it.
Yeah, loopinsight.com. Follow.
It's a Nobel Prize winning microphone.
That's right. Yeah. Nobel Prize for Literature microphone. And Adam Engst, he's been doing it for years, and he continues to do such a great job at tidbits.com. Also, at Adam Engst on the Twitter. Always a pleasure to have all three.
And I have been to Ottawa recently, so I'm going for the
honorary A-team. How far from the Canadian border do you live? Not
four
far.
Hours. Oh, from the border? 3 hours.
Yeah. You could be in Canada in this afternoon.
He's helping us install the heat pump this weekend.
Before sunset.
Hey, when I went up to Tanya and I went up to Ottawa for the Winterlude Triathlon. So 8K skate, 8K ski, 5K run. It was brilliant.
Oh my God.
And,
you did a triathlon.
We actually used the K's here.
Holy cow. Yeah, it's actual K's.
Actual K's. Can you imagine skating on canals in downtown Ottawa? It is so cool. And, during the race, it was obviously, actually really cold. But
Parliament is kind of awesome looking from the canal.
Yeah, there were thousands of people. Was this in July?
There. Yeah, in July.
Yes, Jim.
Only light winter.
It's not that winter is coming; it's that it's never leaving. It's the worst house guest ever.
No, it's terrible. We actually almost didn't go because they didn't open the canals until the Wednesday before the Saturday race. So, February 4th, I think it was.
You skated, you skied, yeah.
And ran,
and you ran.
On the ice.
On the ice. Oh, you're a wild
screw.
Man.
What we call them screw shoes.
You wear special shoes, special snowshoes.
We call them White Walkers. We're kind of afraid of them.
We've got a wall.
And Tony and I got these. We have these great skates that are just blades, and you snap them into your ski boots. So it's quick transition time.
That's wild. I had no idea there was a winter triathlon. That's really
so
amazing.
So much fun. And let me tell you, the Canadians destroyed me. I mean, it was just amazing how bad I was comparatively.
Well, in Canada, we don't call it a triathlon. We call it life.
We haven't had dogless sleds for that long.
We call it the daily commute.
Yeah, that's the commute.
You can commute on skates to work. I would so love to do that.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah.
All right, my friends. Thank you so much for being
here. Thanks, Leo.
We do MacBreak Weekly every Tuesday. My pleasure. 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's 1800 UTC now. We're in summertime in Northern California. Hope you'll stop by and join us in the chat room, too, at irc.twit.tv. But if you can't be here, and by the way, we got a couple of nice people. Got Jerry in the studio and Richard in the studio. Thank you both for coming. You can email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put some seats out for you if you'd like to watch live in studio. Of course, on-demand audio and video always available after the fact at twit.tv/MBW or wherever you get your podcasts. But don't miss an episode. See, you never know. Apple might release something new next week.
See, now this is nice. Somebody just pinged me on Twitter and said, you've never recommended a band I didn't love. Thanks, Mike.
I really like Volbeat. I'm going to go out and get that album. That was great.
Thanks, Dave Mark, for that tweet.
Had a nice boogie sound to it.
Yeah.
I like the Boogie Woogie. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. But now, got to get back to work because break time is over.